Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
It's not about science, it's about worldview, as Heather Zeiger discusses stem cell research here on Probe.
If science had a tabloid magazine, then stem cells would grace the cover. And much like Hollywood celebrities, stem cells are at the center of controversy. So how is a Christian to respond to conflicting reports and confusing science? Well, this week we will discuss the differences between adult and embryonic stem cells, then look at some media myths, and finally evaluate the worldview issues behind the controversy. First, let's define stem cells. Stem cells serve as the body's carpenters and mechanics to other cells. Their name comes from the stem of a plant. Think of a rose. From the stem grows the leaves, the thorns, and the flower. The flower does not produce leaves, nor do the thorns produce a flower, but the stem produces all of these things. However, the stem of the rose is still part of the plant. So in the same way, stem cells are cells, and they produce other cells. Stem cells can be found throughout the body. Think about when you give blood. Your body will resupply the blood that you lost. It does this by using blood stem cells. When your body needs more blood, signals tell the blood stem cells to make more red blood cells, white blood cells, and plasma. Another example is our skin. We lose skin every day, but our body has very active skin stem cells that grow new layers. Later this week, we will talk more about some amazing things being done with skin stem cells. Blood and skin stem cells are examples of adult stem cells, which are very different from another type of stem cell called embryonic stem cells. Embryonic stem cells are only found in the inner cell mass of a 5 to 8 day old embryo. These cells end up making every cell in the human body, and they can divide indefinitely. They are believed to be much more versatile than adult stem cells. And because of this ability, scientists describe embryonic stem cells as pluripotent. Adult stem cells are programmed only to make certain types of cells, kind of like our example of blood stem cells. And adult stem cells have a limited number of cell divisions that they can do. Because of this, they are described as multipotent. This week we will look at scientific studies on stem cell research. We will find that adult stem cells are more versatile than we once thought, and we will find that embryonic stem cells have limitations that scientists still need to overcome.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Heather Zeiger. To strip away the worldview from the debate and get a better view of the science, get your free copy of Heather's transcript, Stem Cell Research, at probe.org. Again, that's probe.org. And join us next time as we reclaim and proclaim the truth, God's truth, here on Probe.
This week, we are discussing key issues in the stem cell debate. So today, we're going to look at adult stem cells. Now, I might mention that adult stem cells are named for their ability, not their source. We find very helpful adult stem cells in umbilical cord blood and the placenta, even though these sources aren't adults. One of the most studied adult stem cell sources is bone marrow. The first bone marrow transplant was performed in 1968, but it wasn't until 1988 that scientists identified the stem cells within the bone marrow that caused those transplants to work. Bone marrow transplants demonstrate one of the biggest advantages of adult stem cells. Scientists didn't know what a stem cell was, let alone how they worked, but the bone marrow transplants were still successful. The stem cells just knew where to go in the body to repair the right tissues. This ability to automatically go to the location of repair is characteristic of all adult stem cells. Bone marrow transplants also demonstrate one of the disadvantages to adult stem cell therapy. Just like an organ transplant, the stem cell donor must be an exact match to the patient, and the patient will need to take immunosuppressant drugs for the rest of his life. However, recent findings with umbilical cord blood have shown that the donor does not have to be an exact match when cord blood is used. One of the first umbilical cord treatments was for sickle cell disease in a 12-year-old boy. He responded so well to the treatment that a year later he was declared cured of sickle cell disease. He does have to take immunosuppressant drugs, but because the match does not have to be exact, they were able to find a donor quickly. One way around the donor problem is to use the patient's own healthy stem cells to repair other damaged cells. Parents now have the choice to bank their child's umbilical cord blood in case the child may need it. For example, this technique was successfully used to help a child with her cerebral palsy symptoms. These are just a few examples. There have been many successful treatments with adult stem cells, including rebuilding bone, alleviating some cancers and autoimmune diseases, relieving Parkinson's symptoms, and experimental treatments with type 1 diabetes. All of these therapies have happened in real people using stem cells that do not involve the destruction of an embryo and would be perfectly ethical within a Christian worldview. This week, we've been trying to untangle the controversy behind stem cell research. There are two main types of stem cells, adult and embryonic. Yesterday, we discussed a few of the successes of adult stem cells, so now today we're going to look at embryonic stem cells. Embryonic stem cells come from the inner cell mass of a 5 to 8 day old embryo. Now, embryos are formed after the egg and sperm have united. And once that happens, a directional process begins that, given proper conditions, will eventually form a baby. At the 5 to 8 day stage, there are only a few cells within the embryo, but these cells are able to make all of the cells in the human body. To obtain these cells, scientists penetrate the outer protective layer of the embryo and remove them. This procedure destroys the embryo. Now, it is still only a theory that human embryonic stem cells can cure diseases. There is one FDA-approved human trial that was announced in January of this year for patients with a recent spinal cord injury, but we will have to wait to know what the results of this treatment will be. In other parts of the world, people have sought embryonic stem cell therapy as a desperate measure. One man in China had embryonic stem cells injected into his brain to relieve his Parkinson's symptoms, but he ended up forming a large brain tumor that consisted of all different types of cells. Another boy in Israel had a disease that attacked his spinal cord. His parents ended up taking him to Russia for several treatments with embryonic stem cells. 4 years later, doctors found tumors in his spine that they confirmed came from the embryonic stem cell therapy. One of the most difficult hurdles for embryonic stem cell research is trying to program the stem cell to become the type of cell you want it to be. The second hurdle is then telling the cell to stop multiplying before it forms a tumor. The signals and mechanisms for this are still being researched. However, one recent study involving the rebuilding of mouse muscles using embryonic stem cells does show some progress in this area. While embryonic stem cells may theoretically have promise, they have not shown this in reality. Time will tell if they actually deliver. However, the ethical issue from a Christian perspective is not whether this research has a practical use, but whether we want to go down the path of using the parts of one human being who has been deemed less worthy of life for another. This week, we've been talking about the stem cell debate. We've looked at the differences between embryonic and adult stem cells, including the likelihood of each of these of delivering cures. And in all of this, what is striking are the misconceptions perpetuated by the media and by many scientists. Let's go over three media myths in the stem cell debate. The first myth is that President Bush restricted stem cell research. Actually, President Bush was the first president to specifically allow federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. However, he did put limitations on how far to take that funding. Also, what is often left out is that the private companies have always been allowed to invest in embryonic stem cell research. The second myth, often reported by the media, is that embryonic stem cells have the potential to cure all types of diseases, including spinal cord injuries, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's. So far, the only successful stem cell treatments of spinal cord injuries or of Parkinson's symptoms have been with adult stem cells. Now, another important point is that Alzheimer's will never be cured by stem cell therapy of any kind. Stem cells might be able to replace some dead tissue, but tissue death is a symptom, not a cause. Alzheimer's affects the whole brain so deeply and quickly that it really isn't an issue of replacing cells. Therefore, scientists must look to other areas for cures for Alzheimer's. The perpetuation of the myth that stem cells will cure Alzheimer's is either, I think, a cruel misrepresentation in order to sell a story, or else demonstrates a complete lack of understanding on the subject. The third misrepresentation is the blatant lack of media coverage for adult stem cells. There have been over 70 different diseases, disorders, or injuries that have been helped or cured with adult stem cells in human trials, yet this has hardly been covered by the media. For example, where is the media coverage of the latest findings with skin stem cells? Scientists have found ways to coax a patient's own skin stem cells into acting just like an embryonic stem cell. In other words, these cells have the potential to become almost any cell in the body, and they're from the patient's own skin. No use of embryos, no immunosuppressant drugs, and the technique has been refined for patient safety. So why this bias? As we will see, there is a worldview issue at the heart of the matter. We have looked at the differences between embryonic and adult stem cells. We have seen the double standard the media has in reporting about these types. But the question remains, with all of the successes of adult stem cells, including the ability to create embryonic-like stem cells from the patient's own skin, why insist on studying embryonic stem cells? Why does the debate continue? I believe a major part of the problem is the answer to the question, who is in authority? There are two broad options, a God-centered authority or a man-centered authority. The man-centered authority in this case is called scientism. It's the idea that science will save us from our problems and tell us what we need to know about life, including what is right and wrong. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm trained as a scientist, and I think studying nature and pursuing scientific questions is important. But when we prioritize science as the only means of gaining knowledge and make it the guide for our lives and the decisions that we make, we have essentially invented a religion. The other perspective is a God-centered authority. In this case, all of nature, technology, and our decisions are under God's authority. In other words, we determine what is right and wrong from the Bible because it is God's revealed word. Scientists want to continue studying embryonic stem cells basically because they want to explore all possibilities and they see no reason why they shouldn't. So from their worldview, they're in authority. There's no reason to put moral limitations on research. And many people latch on to this idea because they believe science will save them. They have faith in science. Some people even believe this to the point of claiming that stem cells will cure diseases and ailments that no stem cell therapy could ever do. As Christians, we believe scientific study and finding cures for diseases is a great endeavor. But just because there is something that we can do doesn't mean it is something that we should do. We know what we should do from God's word. He values the unborn and values human beings as having inherent dignity because we are made in His image. We therefore can't judge some human beings less valuable than others, and we certainly can't kill them for their parts to save those we think are more valuable. From this perspective, adult stem cell research is ethical, but embryonic stem cell research is not.